Welcome to the final episode of the Heartland Author Podcast for 2022. I'm Aaron Apollo Camp. For the 26th episode of the fifth season of this podcast, I had the honor of interviewing Shanti Hershenson. Shanti is from California and is a teenage author who has, at the time of the publishing of this episode, published 12 books with more on the way. Shanti uses TikTok extensively to promote her books and herself as an author, and she is also an anti-bullying advocate. I'm here with Shanti Hershenson, who is a teenage author of well over a dozen books. Shanti, welcome to the Heartland Author Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Feel free to introduce yourself to our listeners, and what school do you attend?
So my name is Shanti Hershenson. I'm 14 years old. I've written 20 books, and I've published 12 of those books. I've honestly just been writing for as long as I can remember, and it's just been something that I've always really, like, enjoyed doing. But when I was about 12 years old, I actually decided, like, hey, I can turn this into a career.
Now, one of your books, if I'm not mistaken, is a novel in poetry. Is that correct?
Yes.
What is the name of this book, and why did you choose to write a novel in poetry?
This book is called You Won't Know Her Name, and it's a book, it's based on a true story, so it's, like, a very personal novel to me. I chose to write it as a novel told in poetry because I didn't think I could actually write it as a novel. The topic was really difficult, and there was so much I had to work out just with, like, character names and how I was going to do it. And in the end, like, poetry was what felt comfortable because poetry was what had gotten me through the difficult time. So it was just, like, a decision I had to make. Also because, like, at that point, I had written, like, a few actual, like, novels. However, I just didn't think that I could actually successfully do this. I think now, though, if I were to write You Won't Know Her Name, I would probably write it as, like, an actual novel as opposed to a novel told in poetry.
Now, you said you published 12 books as of the recording of this interview. Without spoiling too much of them, what are some of the books you've published? You don't have to go through all of them.
So my most recent release is Never Taken, and it's a sequel to Never Dying. Never Dying is a dystopian novel about a future in which a random handful of society is immortal. Before Never Dying, it was The God's Right Hand, which is about a girl who can stop bullets in the midst of a civil war. Before The God's Right Hand, I believe it was the third book in the Zile Delane series, which is like a ghost story series. Then, before that book, then it was I Know Her Name, which is the sequel, like, poetry sequel to You Won't Know Her Name. Then it was The Ruination of Zile Delane. Then it was The Accidental Surgeon, which is, like, a really fast-paced, exciting novel about two teens trying to survive. Before that, it was Biomlock, which was, like, my first, like, novel that ended up actually publishing a little later on, because I had a backlog at that point. And that's just about teenagers living an alien-controlled society. Before Biomlock, it would have been The Curse of Zile Delane, which is, like, the second... Oh, then it would... Actually, before Biomlock, it was You Won't Know Her Name. Then it was The Curse of Zile Delane, which is the second in my ghost story series. Then it was the first Zile Delane book. I might be wrong. It's a little hard to do that backwards, but...
Yeah, because you've written so many books at such a young age, it's sometimes not easy for you to keep track of them.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what is it like to publish books as a teenager, and are all your books self-published, or are some of them traditionally published?
So, for now, I self-publish my books. Honestly, it's like I've never really tried traditional publishing. Early on when I was writing my first novel, I was like, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to query for an agent. And then I kind of just decided, you know, maybe it's best if I retain, like, my creative control for now and, like, publish some books and really build a platform. And then when I'm a little older, maybe about 16, I'll, like, take my work to a traditional publisher. Hopefully I'll have, I'm not sure which manuscript I'm going to do because I have some in my backlog that I'm thinking, you know, I could actually query this. This is pretty good. So one of those books I'm going to take and I'm going to show like my platform and what I've done, and then it'll be a lot easier to get traditionally published.
Now, I originally had this written down on my list of questions as two different questions, but for you, they're probably very related. What is your typical writing routine like, and how do you balance school and writing?
So my routine now, I have a different routine every year just because of school. But my current routine would be I wake up and I go to school, and then I start writing during homeroom. I have about 30 minutes of homeroom where I just write. Usually I write around 500 words during that time, sometimes more, sometimes less. And then if there's any other space during the day to write, I'll write, but then when I get home, I'll try to do like maybe 30 minutes of writing and then 30 minutes of schoolwork. It kind of depends on how much work I have to do and how much writing I have left over. I do 1,000 words every single day, no matter what. Sometimes that means I'll have to like write a little more and then like do my schoolwork later on. But I get pretty good grades and I don't really have any missing assignments, so I think it works out.
Now, what books are you currently writing but have not yet published? Because you said you had like 12 books published and you were writing several more. So if you could give us a little bit of a preview without spoiling too much of it, of some of the books you're currently writing, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm currently, all the other books I have in my backlog are, like, completed, ready to publish, or, like, in their, like, rounds of editing. So I only have, like, technically, like, one, like, work in progress, and that would be book number 20. It is a retelling of Romeo and Juliet that takes place in this fantasy setting. It's a lot of fun. It's also, it was probably one of the hardest books I've ever had to write, because I went from writing, like, science fiction to high fantasy, and high fantasy is incredibly difficult. I never understood why high fantasy books are so long until I actually tried to write one. I'm almost to, like, I think 110,000 words, and I'm still, like, I have a little more to go, so.
Now, you are an avid TikTok user, is that correct?
Yeah.
How do you use TikTok to promote your books and yourself as an author?
So I think TikTok is one of the coolest, like ways authors can market themselves, because you can connect with your readers and you can also make these really creative and fun videos. Prior to using TikTok, I was using Instagram a lot, and with Instagram I would make these like cute little graphics and post it, but it wasn't as fun, it wasn't as like personal as making these TikToks about my books and about myself and then like sharing tips with other people. So in that way it's extremely helpful. Also, their advertising platform is really, really great, and I've blown up on TikTok. In the span of about a year, I've gained almost 50,000 followers. I have gotten to reach so many new people, and I've gotten to meet a ton of amazing people. And it's really, I think it's a really great platform just for any author who wants to like expand their audience, but also promote their books in a fun and creative way.
Now I'm going to ask this question with the understanding that you're not old enough to vote yet, but legislation has been introduced in the United States Congress that would effectively ban TikTok from being used in the United States, and there have been concerns that TikTok, which is owned by a Chinese company, could be used by the authoritarian Xi Jinping regime in China to collect data of U.S. citizens on behalf of the Chinese government. One criticism of this proposed legislation to ban TikTok is that banning TikTok is more motivated by a desire by politicians to take away a social media platform that is popular with younger Americans than any national security or data privacy concerns, valid or invalid. If TikTok is banned in the United States, how would you have to alter the way you promote your books and yourself as an author?
So I think, first off, I think TikTok probably wouldn't be banned. I thought that was something like 2 years ago that happened. I thought they just diffused that. But like regardless, I think say I didn't have TikTok, I would still try to use a ton of social media. Instagram is probably my go-to, and like Instagram Reels, because that's like basically TikTok, just not as cool. So it's like there are still like other kind of platforms one can use. I would also use like all my other marketing platforms, so like Bargain Booksy and Free Booksy and everything like that. It would just take away that kind of connection I have with my readers.
Yeah, I also use social media quite a bit, although prior to Elon Musk taking over Twitter, I was a very heavy Twitter user, and I still am to some degree, but I've since added other social, both before and after Elon Musk took over Twitter, such as Instagram, Tumblr. I don't use TikTok that much, but I do have a TikTok account. A few others. Now I want to go on to your anti-bullying advocacy here. As an anti-bullying advocate, what advice do you have for your fellow teenagers who have been bullied?
So my first piece of advice is always, if you find yourself in a situation where you feel like you're being bullied, distance yourself from the situation and talk to someone. First off, back to the distancing yourself part. It's very common that the bully is someone you're in proximity with, whether it's a classmate or someone in your friend group or like a mutual friend. And if you can distance yourself, if you like talk to your teacher and tell them like, hey, I need to be moved from this person. That kind of leads me into my next piece of advice, which is like talk to someone, talk to a trusted adult, whether it's like a teacher, a coach, an aunt or an uncle, a parent, a grandparent, an older sibling, anything like that. And really tell them what's going on and get like help. I would say talk to your school administration. If you're on the younger side, then it might be good to go with a parent. However, if you're older, like maybe in like later middle school or in high school, like feel free to go by yourself. Just sometimes it's really great to have like an adult support you.
Yeah, and I was fortunate enough to not experience a ton of bullying when I was in school, even though I had an autism spectrum disorder, but of course I weighed about 340 pounds when I was in high school, and I wouldn't recommend people put on that much weight, because that's very dangerous for your health as an anti-bullying mechanism, but that was my anti-bullying mechanism, and it didn't do me any favors nowadays health-wise.
Yeah.
Now, how can schools at every grade level handle bullying better?
I think a big problem with schools and bullying is that they don't really look. They don't see it happening. And if they don't see it happening, they don't believe it happens. No school wants to be a school with a bullying problem, but unfortunately, a lot of schools do have a bullying problem. So really, I think, first off, schools need to watch. They need to have people out watching and listening to what students have to say. And they need, like, anti-bullying programs. There are so many of them they can implement in their schools that help kind of mediate things and help educate the students and the teachers about the problems at hand. And they need a system for when something happens. Far too often, I feel like the victim is often somehow blamed for the situation, or the victim of the bullying is heavily questioned, and that can be very harmful. So schools need to stop kind of villainizing the victim and stop almost turning bullying into this like two-sided conflict, because that's a completely different thing that they often like treat it as.
Shanti, that was my final question, so I thank you for appearing on the Heartland Author Podcast, and you were a very awesome guest.
Thank you.
Shanti was a wonderful guest for this podcast, and I wish her well in her future writing endeavors. I will be going on a mid-season break from this podcast starting tomorrow, and the fifth season of the Heartland Author Podcast will resume after New Year's Day. This is Aaron Apollo Camp reminding y'all to write your imagination. See y'all next year! You can learn more about me and my book writing projects at campaaronapollo.witsite.com/authorAAC. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at AuthorAAC and on Instagram at AAC Scribe. Copyright 2022, Aaron Apollo Camp, all rights reserved. This podcast episode is intended for the private listening of our audience. Any reuse or retransmission of this podcast episode without the express written consent of the podcast host is prohibited, except under fair use guidelines. Royalty-free music and sound effects obtained from https://www.zapsplat.com.